All righty. Answer to prayer, Children's Church. Amen. All right. Somebody may have to share today. Amen. All right. Very good. Good to see you guys again. Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. If you get to verse 22, that's where we will that's where we'll pick it up this morning. So I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 22. We'll take it through verse 35. We're building to verse 35. This is Communion Sunday. We're going to be observing the Lord's Supper. It's open communion for those of you that may be wondering, visiting with us, not quite members here. It's open communion for those that have received Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Not just know some things about Christ, but there's been a time in your life where you have prayed to receive Jesus and you've made Him the Lord of your life, okay? If He's your Savior and your Lord and you're part of the church, you've been baptized into it. Now, baptism doesn't what? Convey any grace. It doesn't finish salvation. It's an act of obedience, all right? You got to get that first ordinance. There's only two ordinances to the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. You got to take care of that first ordinance before you can observe the second ordinance, okay? So salvation, baptism, and then you can observe the Lord's Supper. Now, hey, I'm not a member here. I'm just passing through. I'm visiting. Man, we invite you, if you've received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've been baptized by immersion as an act of your obedience. I mean, all of you is going under the water, amen? Then, friend, we want you to what? If you're comfortable with receiving the elements with us today, we want you to receive the elements today. Now, there may be some kids with you sitting next to you or whatever, and you know for a fact that they've not received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I think most of them have moved on. Amen. They're over there in Children's Church. But if you got a child with you and they've not received salvation, they've not followed the Lord in baptism, what a great opportunity to teach them without allowing them to quite receive it yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And sometimes that's a difficult thing. I know, four kids, I know, been there, done that. I know, why can't I have the bread? Why can't I have the cup? Well, because this is for folks that have received Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, when can I do that? Well, when the Lord convicts you of your sin. Well, what sin? Well, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it just opened. It's a great opportunity to witness to your children. Amen? So that's where we're going today, okay? So John chapter 6, beginning in verse 22. If you found that this morning, would you say amen? The Word of God reads this. The next day, the crowd that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with His disciples into the boat, but that His disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberias near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor His disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said to Him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you speak me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." This is right after the feeding of the 5,000. That's what's going on here. "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life." That's the deepest need of man. Do you know it? Eternal life. "Which the Son of Man will give to you. For on Him the Father, God, has set His seal." And the church said, therefore they said to Him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." So they said to Him, "What then do you do for a sign?" Now, get this. Jesus had already walked on the water. He'd already fed the 5,000. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Women and children, probably 15,000. What more sign do you want? Right? Right? Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." So they said to Him, "What then do you do for a sign, so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." And this is where we're building to today. Verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. And he who believes in me will never thirst." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the inerrancy of it, Lord. Thank you for giving it to us as a great love letter, as a great manifesto on how to live and what your kingdom is about. Thank you for sharing with us today your body and your blood. Thank you for going to the cross to die for our sins and to shed your blood which covers those sins. We praise you and we thank you for the wonderful gift of this bread from heaven that we have in you. We thank you for the new covenant which is represented by your blood. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. I am the bread of life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. That is the first one of Jesus' seven I am statements. We've got some folks fanning up here. We might need to bump on down the air. Just saying, amen. I am the bread of life. Seven I am statements. In all seven, he combines I am. I am, all seven times. He follows that I am with tremendous metaphors. Metaphors which express his saving relationship toward the world. Jesus has come to save the world of sin. And friend, if you're here and you're burdened with a sin-filled heart, if you're burdened with a lost heart, Jesus has come to let you know that that has been taken care of and that you can enter into the abundant eternal life with him. Amen? All seven of these I am statements appear in the book of John. Now, we typically remember, or we typically know the first and the last one. I am the bread, and then the last one in John 15, I am the vine. But let me remind you of all of them. He says, I am the bread. That's what we're covering today. I am the light of the world. Amen. He says that in one of his seven I am statements. I am the door. Praise God. He's the door. I am the good shepherd. That's number four. I am the resurrection and the life. Amen for that, huh? And then in John 14, 6, which kind of sums it all up, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then that last one, number seven, that I've mentioned to you, I am the true vine. Do you believe that today? That's who he is. That's who he is. The words I am. The words I am. What? That's the covenant name for God. This thing that we do this morning, this ordinance, it's all about the new covenant. I am is the covenant name for God. It literally means Yahweh, I am. It is revealed, this I am. This name was revealed to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3:14. Moses is like, who do I say sent me? God says, I am sent you. I am Yahweh. The phrase I am speaks of self-sufficient existence. I didn't get here on my own, did you? No. I'm the product of my parents and the Holy Spirit. I am not self-sufficient. As much as you want to believe, you are not self-sufficient either. But there is someone who is. There is someone who is. It is the only phrase, I am. The Jews who were listening to Jesus speak in this passage, it's the only phrase they would have automatically understood that Jesus was claiming to be deity. He was literally claiming to be God when he says, I am the bread of life. That's what he was saying. I am God right before you. Well, we celebrate him this morning. Amen? He's right before us in the elements. Jesus is here today, I want you to know. When we look at this word bread, bread was considered a staple food. It always has been, but it's a basic dietary item. Every culture seems to have some form of what the Bible calls bread. Some of us like bread to the point of we shouldn't like it so much. Amen? History tells us that a person can survive a long time on just bread and water. Yeah. Bread is such a basic food item that it has become synonymous for food in general, so that people refer and talk about their employment as a way and a means to earn their bread, meaning they've been given the ability to feed themselves, right? We even use the phrase breaking bread together when we talk about sharing a meal with someone. Bread also plays an integral part of the Jewish Passover meal. The Jews were to eat unleavened bread, that's bread without any yeast mixed in it, not given any time to rise. The Jews were to eat unleavened bread during the Passover feast, and then for 7 days following as a celebration of the Exodus from Egypt. Finally, the Jews were wandering in the desert for 40 years when they were wandering. God rained down, as Exodus says, in chapter 16, verse 4, bread from heaven. Bread from heaven. Now, we call that manna, but that's Exodus 16, 4 calls it bread from heaven. The life, I am the bread of life. The word life. Now, I think it's self-explanatory, but just to cover the bases, because sometimes I need a little help. Life is referring not to physical life, but to eternal life. That's what he says. I am the bread of life everlasting. I am the bread of life everlasting. Now let me tell you something about the Lord's Supper. This is a time of introspection. This is a time of making sure I've got those unconfessed sins confessed. This is a time of me thinking about my relationships with people that I love and care about. And if a relationship is off, if it's not quite right, this is the time to make it right during the invitation time. And let me just say to you, if I have offended you in any way, if I've hurt you in any way, certainly as long as I've been pastor here, there's been opportunity for that to happen. Let me just say, I'm sorry for that. And if you need to meet with me down here at the altar during the invitation, I am available for you. Let's pray it out, man. Let's be brothers and sisters in Christ when we receive the elements this morning. Amen? I mean, let's be one body. That's really what it's about, being one body. You with me on that? Well, as we think about this, as we get into this, this is the big thought to kind of hang everything on. And that is this, heavenly bread, Christ. We're talking about Jesus Christ. Heavenly bread, it satisfies spiritual life. Now, last night, somebody several months ago, my wife will remind me of who it was, a church family or member gave a gift card to Outback Steakhouse. And I think they gave a denomination of gift card that they thought we were going to take the kids. Amen? We ain't taking the kids to Outback. we'll take the kids to Chick-fil-A. Amen? McDonald's. We get an Outback gift card. Uh-uh. No, me and the wife going to Outback. Amen? You kids can have this cheese pizza from Kroger. We'll see you in a couple hours. Amen? That's how that rolls. So we have milked that gift card for three dinners. Amen? Brother, we get in there last night, and the first thing I asked for after we ordered, can you please bring some bread? And you take that bread and you cut it open, that warm bread, and you take that anointing of butter, and you lather that thing up, and I want to tell you, you're satisfied before the salad and the food even gets there. Amen? Just keep the bread coming. Jesus Christ, heavenly bread, He is the Christ that satisfies spiritual life. See, we have a hunger down deep inside of us, friend. It's a hunger down deep inside of us. That's what verse 35 is referring to. Jesus said to them, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Consequently, if you don't come to him, you're hungering today. What is humanity's deepest hunger? Down deep in us, we hunger to know God. We hunger to know the purpose of why we are here, which is all tied up in the person of God. We hunger for truth. At least I do. I know others that do. We hunger for truth to help us live in this here and now. Friend, I need some help for the here and now. Don't you? And we hunger for eternal life. Haven't you ever thought about this life? And thought, my soul, there's got to be more than this. We hunger for eternal life, and we hunger for the process in which this eternal life is attained. Now, for some, we think, man, if we just treat our fellow man kindly, if we just do the right thing in every situation, if we just try to be a good person, we think eternal life is coming for us. But the Bible says that none of us are perfect, and that we've all sinned. But there is someone who is perfect, and he's taken care of our sin. Amen? Whatever else a person has in this world, he or she will never be satisfied, will never be content, will never be at peace, will never be what our culture says, happy. They'll never be that until they find the answer to this threefold spiritual hunger that I just talked to you about, which is only found in Christ. That's it. Material things will not satisfy and can never fill the souls of humanity. Whether these things are to eat, whether these things are to see, whether these things are to wear, whether these things are to do, material things will never do it. Neither can the human soul be filled with another human soul, for another empty vessel cannot fill another empty vessel. St. Augustine, centuries ago, expressed spiritual hunger this way. Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. What makes the gospel so glorious? What makes the good news of Jesus Christ so powerful and potent is that Christ satisfies spiritual hunger. As the bread from heaven, Jesus satisfies our hunger for God. He satisfies our hunger for truth, friend. He satisfies our hunger for eternal life. Heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, satisfies spiritual life. I want us to think about, as we try to hang everything off of that, I want us to think about these three hungers. Number one, the hunger for God. Look at verses 32 and 33 with me of John chapter 6. Jesus then said to them, John 6:32, Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who's given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Wow. See, the quest for God is universal. All you have to do is look at humanity spread out across the world. All you have to do is look at people outside of the church, outside of Christianity, and watch these people worship these pagan idols. Watch them in these really wacky-do things, these other religions, these cultic things. Watch them participate and exercise that. As they do that, they're witnessing to the fact that the human soul hungers for God. Man has a vast capacity for God. Oh, he's created us for himself. And therefore, man without God has a vast emptiness without him. Am I speaking in your ear today about the vast emptiness? Friend, you can feel it this morning. Jesus Christ answers the hunger for God with these remarkable words that we read in verses 32 and 33. A Christian couple by the name of Fred and Cheryl, they went to Haiti 25 years ago to pick up a child they had adopted. This little girl was 5 years old at the time. Her name is Addie. Addie, A-D-D-I-E, Addie. Isn't that a beautiful name? Her parents had been killed in a traffic accident that left her without a family. As she walked across the tarmac, as she walked across that airport concrete, the tarmac, to board the plane, the tiny orphan, five-year-old orphan, reached up and slipped her hands into the hands of her new parents, whom she had just met for the first time. Fred and Cheryl were moved to tears. They remember this act of Addie taking their hands as her birth moment. Her birth moment. When Addie's innocent, when her fearless trust was expressed in that physical act of grasping Fred and Cheryl's hands. These parents recall that this birth moment that they remember it to be seemed almost as miraculous as the times of their two sons' natural birth. They already had two boys, 15 and 13 years old. Well, after a long flight and a car ride, that evening back home in Arizona, the family sat down to their first supper together with their new daughter. There was a platter of pork chops and a bowl of mashed potatoes on the table. Sounds good, doesn't it? Amen. After the first serving, after the first time around, the two teenage boys kept refilling their plates, as teenage boys will do. Amen. It's kind of like, is that thing ever going to get full? You got a hollow leg, you keep shaking that food down. I mean, where does it end, right? Amen. Soon the pork chops had disappeared. And the potatoes were all gone. Addie had never seen so much food on one table in her whole life. Her little five-year-old, freshly adopted orphan eyes were as big as saucers, those proverbial saucers we say, as she watched her new brothers, Thatcher and Graham, satisfy their ravenous teenage appetites. Fred and Cheryl began to notice that Addie had become very quiet and realized that something was wrong. Was it agitation? Was it bewilderment? Was it insecurity? Well, Cheryl, the mother, the new mom, thought it was the disappearing food. She suspected that because Addie had grown up hungry, when food was gone from the table, she might be thinking that it would be a day or more before there was no more food to eat. Well, Cheryl had guessed right. So she took Addie's hand and she led her to the bread drawer. And she pulled out the said bread drawer and she showed little five-year-old Addie that had just come to America from Haiti. She just showed her backup of three loaves in the bread drawer. She took her to the refrigerator and she opened the door and showed her the bottles of milk and orange juice. She showed her the fresh vegetables. She showed her the jars of jelly and the jars of jam and the jar of peanut butter and the carton of eggs and a package of bacon. She took her to the pantry and she opened the door of the pantry with its bins of potatoes and bins of onions and squash and the shells of canned goods and the tomatoes and canned peaches and canned pickles. She opened the freezer and she showed Addie three or four chickens, a few packages of fish, and two cartons of ice cream. All the time she was reassuring Addie that there was lots of food in the house, that no matter how much Thatcher and Graham ate and how fast they ate it. Addie, there was a lot more where that came from. Addie, you'll never go hungry again here. See, Cheryl didn't just tell Addie. She didn't just tell her she'd never go hungry again. She walked her through the home. She walked her through the kitchen. She showed her what was in those drawers. She showed her what was behind those doors. She named the meats and the vegetables, placed them in her hands. It was enough, friend. It was enough. Addie finally got it. That food is here. Amen. Whether she could see it or not, she knew that food was there. You know what? Her brothers at the table, teenage boys, they no longer became her rivals. She figured out she was home. Amen? And she figured out that she would never go hungry again. Well, the question to you is this. Are you a spiritual orphan today? Are you? Are you hungering for a God that transcends this world, wanting to connect with something outside of yourself? Amen? Friend, realize that His hands are extended to you today. And He has all you'll ever need, friend. You will never go spiritually hungry again. Your hunger can be satisfied with this bread from heaven called Jesus Christ. And He shows it to you. He shows you the bread on the cross. He shows you the bread in the empty tomb. He shows you the bread at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. Man, the pantry is right here before us. Amen? The kitchen is open wide. Come on in and eat. Amen? You'll never go hungry again. The hunger for God. Heavenly bread, Christ, satisfies spiritual life. Not only the hunger for God, but the hunger for truth. From childhood to adulthood, humanity has an insatiable hunger for truth. My wife and I, Stephanie and I, are in the process of raising four kids. One is on her way. She's in college, getting ready to start her second year. She's on her way to being grown, but friend, she's not grown up yet. Not quite, but she's on her way. She's on her way. But for the other three left at home, three still left at home, let me tell you, they're just like their older sister. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, in that they have all gone through the process. They've all gone through the stage. In fact, the youngest one that walked out of here with her little friend going to children's church, she's still in the stage. She's still in the process. What process are you talking about? It's this process. Daddy, why is this? Daddy, how come that? Daddy, what is this all about? I don't understand how this works. Daddy, I have a question. I have a question. I got a question about science. That's about to start when school starts back. I have a question about science. I may have an answer, may not. I have a question about math. I'll probably figure that one out. Pray for me, amen. I have a question about logistics. I don't know how quite to get to my locker and get to my classes and get all my stuff. Help me, Daddy, with the logistics. Help me with the time. I need help with directions. Daddy, I need help with geography. Daddy, does this dress look okay? Is this all right to wear? Daddy or Mommy, help. Questions, amen. Sometimes there's questions about purpose. Sometimes there's questions about meaning. Sometimes there's questions about spiritual things. Praise God. The questions come from hunger. A hunger for the truth. And praise God, we as parents and as stewards of these kids, we've had the blessed opportunity to instill in them, to expose to them the truth about Jesus Christ. He's the only way. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Eternity is contained in Him. If you want to spend it with Him, He's the way to go with it. Amen? It's Jesus, right? There's no guarantees with that. Every person has to make the faith their own. But man, it's been an awesome opportunity to expose them to it, right? And friend, if they won't, take Christ. That's a tragedy, isn't it? See, the tragedy in our world today is that instead of being satisfied with true bread from heaven, millions upon millions feed themselves upon the false bread that is supplied by the devil himself. Instead of feeding at the Father's table, people attempt to fill themselves with everything except the truth. They attempt to fill themselves with everything except the Word of God. They attempt to fill themselves with everything except Jesus Christ to their own impending and immediate downfall. And even if they don't get off of that path, if they stay on that path of not taking Christ, the Bible says, not Pastor Stephen, the Bible says, there's an eternity not with Christ, but with the devil and the demonic in a place called hell. Praise God. Praise the living God for those who respond to the person of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for them. Those that remember, those that receive, that Jesus satisfies our hunger for truth. Because, friend, I'm telling you, He is the truth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Don't you love that verse? See, true bread feeds the mind. It feeds the mind with knowledge, with real knowledge, that knowledge that goes on for eternity. True bread, Jesus Christ, He fills the heart with peace and He fills it with joy. True bread, Jesus Christ, He fills the will. We all have a self-will. He fills that will with liberty. He sets us free. Heavenly bread, Christ, He satisfies spiritual life. The hunger for God, the hunger for truth, and then finally this morning, the hunger for life. The hunger for life. Verse 35 says, "I am the bread of life." Oh, church, man is hungry today. He is hungry for eternal life. Yet for many, they settle for the here and now. They settle for only the here and now. See, man laughs. Oh, man makes merry. Like this is the only life. They know there's a deep down inside. They know there's something else, but they laugh and they make merry. Like this life is the only life. Man fights for this way of life. We go to war for this way of life. We defend this way of life in peacetime. Man works for his way of life in his daily employment. Man dreams of his life when he sleeps. Man eats for his life in mealtimes. That's what he does. But man's hunger is for life, for abundant life, a life that leads to an eternal life. Yet too many try to be satisfied with the mere existence of this present life when Jesus is offering, when He's offered to us the ultimate of eternal life as the bread of life. He just says, come eat. Amen. Be satisfied. Listen to the words of John chapter 6, verse 51, if you want to flip your page and look on with me. John chapter 6, verse 51 says, "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live," my translation says, "forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." A Christian by the name of Sadhu Sundar Singh. Say that five times fast. Sad Hugh Sundar Singh. He was distributing copies of the Gospel of John in the central province of India. He came to some non-Christians on the train. He had boarded a train to travel, and he had come to some non-Christians, some lost folk on a train. And he began offering people a copy of John's Gospel in their own language. Well, he gave it to one man, one reluctant man. And the man reluctantly took the copy of John's Gospel, not quite understanding what it was when he first received it. However, when he discovered that it was a portion of the Word of God, a portion of the Holy Bible, the man was so enraged that he had been witnessed to that he began tearing the Gospel of John into pieces and throwing those pieces out of the window of this moving train. Well, Sadhu Sundar Singh was saddened as he watched those pieces of God's Word being tossed from the moving train. But it so happened in the province that day, it so happened in the providence and sovereignty of God that day, that there was a man anxiously seeking for truth walking along the train track that very day. And you know what he did? He picked up a piece of that ripped up gospel. Just a little bit of paper. He looked at it, and the words on the little bit of paper in his own language said, "The bread of life." That's all it said. The bread of life. The searching, walking man along the railroad track did not know what the bread of life meant, but he inquired among his friends. Showed him this little piece of paper. One of his friends said, "I can tell you the phrase, the bread of life, is out of that Christian book." But this is what the friend said. "You must not read the Christian book. If you read the Christian book, you will be defiled." You know what the man did? He thought for a moment, and then he said, "I want to read the book." It's the hunger in us, friend. We can't help it. I want to read the book that contains that beautiful phrase. There's got to be more than this life I'm living. I want to read the book. And so he bought a copy of the New Testament with his own money. The man was shown where the sentence occurred. He didn't know where to look, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. He didn't have a clue. He had the whole New Testament in his hands. Somebody showed him the verse we read today, the verses we read today. Somebody showed him those words, our Lord's words, written in red. Somebody showed that to him. "I am the bread of life." And as he studied the gospel, the light flooded into his heart. As he studied the gospel, he came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As he studied the Word of God, he surrendered to the call to be a preacher of the gospel. That little bit of paper thrown out of the window in anger led to the salvation of many. This man, what did he do, friend? He went beyond just his mere existent life to the abundant eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so in a few moments, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to stand. And for the saved folks, that's going to be a time of confessing sin, examining their lives, making sure the relationships are square and straight. That's going to be a time for saved folks to do that, but for folks that have never received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, oh, friend, when we stand, that's going to be your opportunity to walk this aisle for Christ. Walk this aisle for Jesus Christ. See, Psalm 34:8, you know what Psalm 34:8 says? It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see how blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." Amen? Look at chapter 6, verse 35 with me one more time. We're going to get everything out of this verse that we can. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." Do you see the invitation for those listening, the invitation for those listening to place their faith in Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of God. This invitation is found throughout John's gospel. This invitation is found throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This invitation is found throughout the New Testament. This invitation is found throughout the Bible. Believing in Jesus, not that Jesus merely existed. Believing in Jesus, not believing that Jesus merely resurrected. Believing in Jesus, no. Placing your faith and your trust in Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. Turning from your self way of living, receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and the director of your life. That's the believing we're talking about. It means placing that faith, placing our faith in Him. You believe Jesus is going to do what He says He's going to do? You believe Jesus is who He says He is? That's what we're talking about. When Jesus says those who come to Him will never hunger, and those who believe in Him will never thirst, He's saying He will satisfy our hunger. He will satisfy our thirst to be made righteous in the sight of Almighty God. Amen? See, because of the satisfaction, because of the great satisfaction, that's why we examine ourselves. Because of the great examination, that's why we keep short sin accounts. Because of the great satisfaction, that's why we seek to restore broken relationships, because we're satisfied in Jesus. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You, Lord, that we can be about the worship of You this morning. We can be about the bringing of glory and honor to Your name this morning. We can be about the great talking about You and preaching about You and trying to get Your message across. Lord, be with those that are with us this morning that may have some head knowledge of who You are, but have never had that opportunity put on them like that to trust You. Have never had that opportunity put on them like that to pray to receive You. Have never had that opportunity to place their faith in You. Lord, for those that need to make that decision, may this be the hour of their salvation. Oh, let them come today, Jesus. Let them step out of that pew and come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, for the rest of us, may this be a time of introspection, of reflection, and of getting our hearts right to receive the elements today. Thank You for Your forgiveness. Thank You for Your grace, Your mercy. Thank You for loving us so much to send the very best bread to satisfy us. Thank You, Jesus, for that. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. As we stand all over the sanctuary, Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in a time of invitation. I'll be down front. You come this morning. You come. Be submissive. Be obedient to what God would have you do. You come.
That grace appeared, the hour. Savior has ransomed me.
There it is. All right, Donnie.
Thank you, Pastor.
You bet, brother.
Can you hear me? I've got family here, and they know me. But for the ones that don't, my name's Donnie. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and was baptized by submersion.
Amen.
And that was a while ago. Since then, you know, I don't really know. I guess led astray would be the term for it, but I made the choice to go and do things that wasn't pleasing to God.
Right.
I committed adultery, lived my life, and I knew it wasn't pleasing to God. And what the pastor was preaching to y'all today, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me through him. And I understand everything that he was saying. You know, there's darkness in this world.
Yeah.
And there's light in this world.
Amen.
And which one you feed grows stronger.
Yeah.
If you feed that darkness, it grows stronger and stronger. If you feed that light, it grows stronger and stronger. You know, when you backslide, you slide away from that light and you into the darkness.
Amen.
And I'd just like to tell y'all that one time I was really deep in that darkness, deep, deep, deep in darkness. And it was a time when I didn't know God was real. I didn't know. But I met a gentleman. And I could see what he was doing, studying the Bible and really, really, really applying himself there. And he had a light about him. You could see it when you looked at him. You could see it. And I told him, I said, "You really believe in this, don't you?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I do." And I said, "Well, how do you know?" And he said, "Well, God showed me he was real."
Amen.
God showed me he was real. He'll show you too.
Yeah, amen.
And I said, "Well, how's he going to do that?" He said, "Just ask him." Huh. I said, "Well, how am I supposed to ask him if I don't know he's real?"
Huh.
He said, "Pray from your heart."
Yeah.
And I said, and something inside me knew how to do that. So I did, and I prayed right there with him from my heart, and I said, "God," and I was praying from my heart, and God showed me he was real. So that's when I knew God was real. But sitting here today, and the preacher's up here preaching, and he's got a, and he's speaking to me with the Holy Spirit through him, and you and you and you and you, you see it, you feel it.
Yeah, amen.
You know. Well, then there it is. There's proof God's real. All over again. And every day, walking out in the world, doing this and doing that, many, 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 many times, God never gives up on us and just continues to show us that he's real.
Yeah.
So here I am today. And I'd just like for y'all to please pray with me now. And just pray with me, please.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I just give you thanks so much for loving us, loving me, and being with us and continuing to stand by our sides and walk with us. Heavenly Father, I'd just like to confess my sins to you.
Amen.
And ask for forgiveness, Heavenly Father. Please forgive me for the things I've done wrong, and please
cleanse
us, Heavenly Father. Just purify us, Heavenly Father, and just as this day, Heavenly Father, I pray that you just forgive us, Heavenly Father, and I know that you will, as you were, but give us freedom in the Spirit, Heavenly Father, and guide us and be there with us. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father. And I'd also like to pray for my brother who's not here, Raymond Tosh. Mm. He's working really hard, Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
Give him strength, peace, and love. Be there with him also. I give you thanks for all the things, all the blessings you give us in each and every day, ones we see and the ones we just ignore and walk by.
Mm. That's right.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, at this time, I think Brother Jeremiah is going to cue some piano music, and deacons, if you'll come and prepare the table, we will receive the elements this morning. We'll receive the bread first. These guys will pass it out, and then after they've passed out the bread, we will have a time of scripture reading and prayer, and then we'll come back and follow it up with the cup. After the bread and the cup, and we leave this place, the deacons will be in the back. I know this has been a week of sacrificial giving and offering. And if you cannot put anything in the benevolence offering, we're going to take a benevolence offering after it's all said and done. That money goes into the checking account or budget or whatever you want to call it. And then as folks have need, we're able to spend out of that benevolence fund to help folks. Sometimes it's church folks, sometimes it's not. So it's a great ministry of the deacons and the church. So the deacons are here to help with the poor, the sick, the widows. And so that benevolent offering, as you leave, their Bibles are open. You place money in those Bibles. They count it up. It goes in the checking account. We have a record of it, and we're able. And we also budget money, so it goes with that budgeted money. So it's a great thing. And I understand, I don't want you to think we're trying to browbeat you to give above and beyond what you're able. I know you've given this past week to revival, and so you pray it through. You pray it through, but it's an opportunity for you to give. It's an opportunity. Amen? All right, gentlemen. The bread. Very good, outstanding. If you have your element with you at this time, I'm in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, at verse 22. Understand as we read this, while they were eating, this is the Passover meal. I mean, this they're celebrating the Passover. Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper. He's bringing that New Testament church together. They're going to experience Pentecost together in a little bit, and the Holy Spirit's going to come. But, man, it is a beautiful, powerful time. And Jesus is looking at these guys, and he's telling them how much he loves them and how much he cares for them. And they're all going to betray him here in a couple hours. He's going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knows this is coming. They're going to arrest him in the garden. They're going to nail him to the cross. They're going to beat him and spit on him and revile him and despise him and all of those things. Jesus, in his infinite knowledge and wisdom, he knows this is coming. Yet he takes the time to walk these guys through this. And he's here with us this morning, walking through it with us. Amen? This is what he says. While they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take it. This is my body." Let's pray, and then we'll eat. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you for what it represents to us, that he's paid a debt that we could not pay. Lord, we owed a debt that we couldn't get out of, and he's taken care of it with his life and with his perfect life, with his body nailed on Calvary's cross. He experienced both your wrath to give us your love on Calvary's cross. Thank you that in Christ, your full deity and Godhead came down on him so that we might be loved for eternity, forever and ever, and have a place, a home with you, and have you present with us now for the rest of our lives. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Shall we eat? trust that you have your element, your cup with you at this time. The Word of God goes on to read in John or Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 23. It says, "And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" Amen? Can you believe that? Jesus has not taken a sip since from the fruit of the vine. He's doing a lot of things in heaven, making intercession for me and you. Doing what Jesus does in heaven. I don't know what that is, but it's a lot. Amen? He's God. Amen? But not this. Oh, he's waiting for the day when we're all back together again. In his presence. When the Father hands us off as the bridegroom to the groom, Jesus. Going to be powerful. Amen? Well, we remember today, Jesus. We remember the blood that was shed for us. And we rejoice in the fact that our sins have been forgiven. And we receive the love and the grace and the mercy that's contained in this ordinance for each of us. We receive it today. And we look forward to the next time that we break this bread and drink this cup together again. Let's pray and then we'll drink. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for obedience. Holy Spirit, we thank you for tying us all together with it. Thank you for the power. Thank you for what this cup represents. Thank you for the power of this shed blood to cover our sin. A perfect sacrifice on Calvary's cross to answer the requirement, to fulfill the requirement for sinners. Thank you, Lord, that you did it for us. That you loved us that much. That you love us that much. Thank you for including us, calling us out of darkness, and saving us. Thank you for a heavenly homecoming and a marriage supper of the Lamb that we look forward to. We praise you today. We thank you. Give us what we need. Help us where we struggle. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Shall we drink? If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, these deacons will assemble themselves at the back with their open Bibles. They'll be receiving a benevolence offering as you are led of the Holy Spirit to participate in. Don't forget choir practice this afternoon at 4:30. Don't forget evening worship tonight at 6 o'clock. Be camp report, all right? Don't forget men's and women's Bible study Monday. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you for your patience today. We've gone longer than usual, but God doesn't have a clock, amen? I think he created time, owns it. He knows what we're doing here, so he's in the midst of us. So let's thank him for his presence. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again, thanking you, God, for your blessings. Thanking you for your word, thanking you for everything you do for us and with us. God, we pray that you go with us now as we leave this place. We know you are with us, but Lord, may we just realize that you're with us as we leave this place. May we take the good news, the good words out of here and share it with a broken and hurting world. Lord, thank you for a church family that we can be encouraged in and revived in and refueled in. And Lord, now that we've been helped and we're encouraged up, may we share that with others in their struggles and in their need. May the gospel just continue to go forth from this body of believers for the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ and the worship of God Almighty. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. You folks are dismissed.